Okay. Well, let's go ahead and go through introductions. I see Kyle Hoyt, I see Gary and Janelle, Karen Kessie, Mr. Condent. Good evening.
Good evening, all.
Let's see, that just rotated things. There we go. All right. Jeremy Jones, good evening. Bob Short, Margaret, hello. Jeff, is that you, Mr. Winker?
Yep.
Well, hello and good evening.
Spelling.
Oh, there you go. Let's see. Caroline, good evening. Susie, good evening. And Debbie, good evening. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. So let's go ahead and open this conversation up for public comment. Is there any public comment? We'll go ahead and open up the floor for that right now. Hearing none, going once, going twice. Any public comment, anybody? Okay, well, we've got lots to cover, so let's go ahead and roll right through it. If somebody pops in late and has something to say, just, you know, raise your hand or get my attention, and we'll let you speak as soon as you're ready. Item number three is the agenda approval. We need a motion to approve the agenda as presented, unless there's any changes. Everybody have a chance to see it on the screen?
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Amanda. Well, let's put it to a vote. All in favor to approve the agenda as presented, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. It's unanimous. Motion carries.
It's actually four. Janelle, oh, it's right. Four. It's four people.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Chase, let me know if Megan pops on, because I can't see her when you present screen for some reason. I can't see the people attending.
The whole group, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go. Item number four, meeting minutes approval. We have two meeting minutes, one from 4:13 and one from our work session, I believe, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Do we want to review those and approve them individually, or would we like to do them together?
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we approve both sets of minutes as presented.
A second.
Okay. Karen moves and Gary seconds. Let's put it to a vote. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, four ayes. The motion carries. We're going to approve the minutes for 4:13 and the work session minutes for 5:04. Perfect. Okay.
Thanks for presenting those, Janelle.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, really nice job.
Okay, let me see if I can minimize this. All right, we'll roll right in item number five. So the president's message tonight's pretty short and sweet. First and foremost, I just wanted to thank Karen for organizing, scheduling, and running our work session last week. There was a lot of great information that Mr. Dunkel presented to the board. And this work session, I felt it provided some valuable training for our board members, but it also satisfied one of our SDIC goals stemming from the SDAO organizational assessment, which recommended that we partake in this training annually. And also a big thanks and shout out to Chase for helping prepare the virtual component of this meeting. With both of your guys' hard work, this meeting was very smooth. I was in the middle of nowhere in Hawaii and it came through virtually just flawless. So thank you both for all your efforts on that. Secondly, we're planning to cover lots of important information in tonight's meeting. So we have a draft employee handbook to adopt. We need to appoint a board member as primary point of contact for the 408s. Chase has some updates on our strategic planning process. And then we'll finish off with a brief discussion about the opportunity to begin hosting our meetings, our monthly board of directors meetings in person, while obviously still allowing for virtual attendance. I want to have a conversation about that tonight. So with all of that said, and I think I sent you the president's message electronically, Chase. So Janelle, you won't have to include any of that in the minutes, because I think we can just, if you would forward that to her, Chase, that'd be great. Or I can send it to her after the meeting. You can just attach it.
Oh, I have it. It'll be recorded.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Let's go ahead and go on to item number six, the company financial review and expenditure approvals, please.
Okay, I'm going to go. Someone just entered the waiting room. It's a 50375. Hold on a second here. Ask him if that's Megan.
I'm on. This is Megan.
Okay.
Hi, Megan.
607. Hi. Megan entered. Sorry, I got to call that out, or the recordings are, it's hard to tell. So let's go. So basically, the transactions as presented, the only changes we have was I did receive a bill from the trapper for last month. Been trying to remind him to get this in prior to pulling the reports. So hopefully next month he will actually do that. The bill was $1,120, so it was a little bit less than last month. Janelle had requested a $20,000 transfer from the state pool to cover the bills presented with the trapper. That brings it up to $21,120. I think we can just round it off at $21,000 with plenty of room to spare. Does anybody have any questions on this? The only thing that really stood out to me was there was a, about the eighth line item up, there's a $2,250 for correcting the entry rewards payment. So what that was the credit card rewards payment as it was entered originally. The way US Bank reconciles it, they don't let you reconcile it through the actual accounting. And so we had to do a general journal entry. And so that's why it kind of jumps off the page, actually, if you look at it. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Nope.
I guess with that, if there's nothing else, we can go ahead and move to approve.
I move to approve the financials as presented and transfer the $21,000 from the state pool account.
This is Megan. I second.
Okay. I heard Megan second. I think somebody else was chiming in too, but I heard Megan second. Amanda moved to approve the financial expenditure list as presented and transfer $21,000 from the state pool. That's the motion on the table. So let's go ahead and take a vote. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Did you say aye too, Gary?
He did.
Yes, yeah. I did.
Sorry, I didn't come through on mine. Perfect. Okay, so five ayes, motion carries. Thank you. All right, so we're going to jump into number 7, which is the initial budget review. Chase was kind enough to put together a worksheet that we can follow that I'm sure he'll be able to put on the screen that basically shows just kind of a rough 30,000 foot view of what we've budgeted versus what we've spent year to date versus what we're projected to spend by year end. And then as you can see, he's got some notes in red that basically are things that we wanted to discuss. And we don't need to have an extraordinary long discussion about these items because we're gonna have a more in-depth detailed discussion about them next month for our board or for our budget meeting. But we just wanted to kind of get everybody thinking about these items. And then I tell you what, Chase, why don't you go ahead and take it from here? You're the expert on this stuff, so I'll listen.
So kind of what I did was I updated, this was the kind of the spreadsheet we used last year. It's kind of more than just a P&L, which is what our QuickBooks budgets include. It's more of like a statement of cash flows because we do include balance sheet transactions, which those balance sheet transactions would be down here on the IFA loan payments. These are basically, they're a payback of money that was given us. So it's not really a profit or a loss, but it's, hold on, someone's in here, Suzanne Ellis. Okay. And so what I try to do is I try to get the, like we covered last year, is I was trying to get the entire, like the global picture of basically money in and money out, which is essentially a statement of cash flows. And at the end of it, kind of what we end up with as kind of cash on hand, if you will. If you remember last year, we decided to dip into the state pool funding. As it turns out, we really didn't dip into it as of yet. I took the numbers would be current as of the 5/7. balance sheet and P&L, and then I kind of did a projection of the next couple months to kind of see where we're probably going to end up as. I'm not going to say it's 100%, but I just basically, all the red numbers that you see on the screen are kind of a projection, if you will, of the current numbers. Some of them aren't going to change. Like we've already, like this one here, the sprain, we've already done our sprain. We're not going to do any more by the time we get to June 30. So I left a lot of those alone, but this was kind of give us an idea of where we're going to end up at the end of the year. And then to help us maybe just, instead of trying to do this in one meeting at the end of June, which we did last year, and then we ended up having to do a special meeting after that to try to tackle all of these questions, I just kind of wanted to get ahead of this year. And we don't have to make any decisions tonight. I'm just trying to provide information to the board to, you know, help you maybe start to think about some of these, what I call them, the non-typical issue. Oh, I got someone else in here. Okay, so I had a Suzanne Ellis enter at 6:10. And then I just had a Craig at 6:13. Did you get that, Janelle?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Chase.
So what I wanted to go through is basically some of the non-typical big ticket items that we could look at. So, you know, every year we budget for power, there's fuel and oil, garbage. This stuff's pretty consistent year over year over year. And I basically just wanted the board to start thinking about what I call the one-offs, the big ticket items. You know, last year was an Evans rebuild for $55,000. It came out to this point at $46,342. Which that's a, you know, what you would consider a one-time year expense. And so I just want the board to think about this. And one of the big ones I did want to talk about was the levee mowing. We did mow last year because we did have a site visit inspection from the Army Corps of Engineers, and I knew it was coming and we kind of planned ahead for it. The mowing has gone up in costs. The cost for the current mowing contractor has gone up to $185 an hour. It's about 100 hours. Last year we had money savings because there was some private landowners that actually mowed the levee in certain areas, which lowered the total area being mowed. But that's a pretty good chunk there. And then the other one that's going to be, I guess, kind of a guess, is these inspections of the perimeter and the sub-levee culverts. So these are the culverts that actually transverse from the landward side to the riverward side through the levee. They are, by Army Corps standards, need to be inspected every 5 years. These culverts are submerged 99% of the year, and inspecting them is going to pose a rather large challenge. And this is one that I'm going to focus on, especially. I have some ideas how to do it. I've done them before. These ones are longer, they're deeper. So it's going to take some ingenuity, if you will. I've looked at several different options, some of them with a sonar type of inspection. And so that's the one that's going to be a large ticket item. The cleaning of the cherry orchard ditches is a big ticket item that we plan for this year. And the reason we plan for it this year is the current farmer out there is in the process of the annual, or not annual, it's a perennial basis, but it's going to be the year that the land basically gets tilled up, turned over, and replanted. And so it would be a good time to clean the ditch, spread the spoils, and get it replanted back in and not have basically spoils sitting there. The shop needs a new roof. It leaks pretty good, and along with the north. The north does not leak. It just has some damage that probably needs to be tended to in the near future. I wouldn't put it as an immediate item. And of course, the discharge pipes on the Honeyman and the Sternberg are leaking regularly. The Kessie only leaks under certain conditions. And so that's something that's kind of been on my radar as well. And so I just kind of wanted to give an idea of kind of as we move towards our budget meeting next month, is to kind of keep this in mind. And maybe I want to, you know, I'm kind of, George said last couple of weeks, I'm just trying to provide you with as much information as I can to help you guys make an informed decision to direct me on which way to go. And so that's kind of what I wanted to cover tonight. Like I said, I don't need any decisions. I just want to kind of get a feel of what you guys are thinking. So, as I also said, there's kind of some nuances in the budget that aren't 100% complete yet. The professional engineer I took out just because it wasn't used last year, and I don't foresee it being used, but I just kind of wanted to give an idea of, as we move through this, like the FEMA and the LOMAR and the MT2 submittal, it will hopefully happen in the 2023 budget cycle. There is some cost there with the updating of, you know, alerting landowners of changes and what have you. And so this one could come back. Last year it wasn't an issue. And it kind of basically, at this point, with just raw cash after the loan payments, is about $99,000. And so that's just, I wanted the board to just start thinking about it. And that's kind of what my intent was with this. Does that kind of make sense to everybody? Mm-hmm.
I think it looks great, Chase. And I think it's well-timed. I think we've got a couple weeks now, you know, between a couple weeks and a month to really wrap our heads around it. And it's nice seeing the projected savings on the bottom, so we can start thinking about, or start our thinking around, you know, how we can tie some of that money back into accomplishing things from our SWOT analysis too, and our strategic planning. So thanks for putting this together.
Yeah, anybody else thank on the board you.
Have any questions or comments?
The one I kind of wanted to get some feedback on is the mowing. Does anybody, I mean, how do people feel about mowing? And remember, this is only the, basically what would be the landward side of the levy. This doesn't include the ditch access roads, which we've begin mowing the last several years, mainly around the Santosh and sub-levy areas for access. This is basically just the levy itself, top of the levy, basically the landward slope.
Can you just, go ahead.
You mentioned that last year a number of the landowners had possibly mowed a portion. Do we expect that to happen again this year?
I probably wouldn't, because most likely the mowing would happen in the early spring or late spring, early summer. Most of that mowing kind of wrapped up midsummer, if you will. And so it's, I'm not say it's not going to happen, but I wouldn't bank on it. Does that make sense?
Right. And you said it's an hourly rate, 185. Is that what I understood?
That's correct.
This is Megan. I just have a question. Is 185 a standard rate? It just seems high to me, but I don't hire out to have that done. We do it ourselves. So could someone enlighten me?
Seems high to me too, unless he's using some really specialty equipment.
Yeah, he has a specialized slope bank mower. It's much more agile on the slopes of the levee. I talked to Savvy's Island. They just do it because they've done it for so long. It's just kind of their MO. We didn't do it 2 years ago. I focused more on herbicide control of some of the nuisance weeds, and then just last year was the last time we've done it in the last 2 years. I believe the year prior to my arrival, it was done.
Does that rate include, does this person assume all responsibility if they break down, insurance, all of those little line items? Or is if he were to, have any type of breakdown or something which, let's say he ran over something, we didn't let him know or something from our fault, then he would also charge us on top of that 185 rate?
As of now and last year, it was all in. There was no extra above and beyond.
Probably 6 or 8 years ago when we negotiated with him, we didn't use him, like Chase said, for a year or two. We made sure that it was all in, I guess if you want to call it that, in the sense that if he punctures a tire or breaks his machine, whatever the case may be, that the district was not responsible for that. I don't know that that's carried forward. It was written in the contract at that point.
Jeff has his,
yeah,
sorry there.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Chase, could you speak to the variability along the dike? Because, like, there's mortgages that mow the land side repeatedly and keep it looking good. And then on the water side, it was way overgrown with trees and brush. And I know you've been getting a big improvement on that. And then you got kind of where we're at and where Hoyt's at and Kunan Moorage. Some of those areas have, especially by the Moorage, got really overgrown. But better. Then you have Los, who used to graze, but there aren't any cows anymore. So it's a big variability. We obviously vote for getting a road.
And a little bit of an offset on what Jeff was saying, too, is that the city now mows a lot more than what was ever done in the past. That has happened for a few years now, but that's also decreased the load.
You're talking about Chapman Landing, right?
Yes. Chapman Landing down about halfway to Burnett's.
Right. And I would say historically it got mowed every year. Like Sobeys Island, you mentioned, Chase.
In the past, we used to have them at least try to use a boom mower and do the riverward side. If I understood you correctly, he's doing nothing on the riverward side. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Probably about 10 years ago, there was like rocks and stumps and stuff that cause problems, but I think that's pretty much been handled over the years. That was slowed down the mower and made it harder.
When Chase, you and JR have taken out some old fences and different things like that, removed debris, which should make it go faster for him, correct?
Yes, that's correct. We've moved it, but it's still, it's not the fastest process. And one of the things that I wanted to do this year was actually focus on mowing the benches, the riverward side benches. And the main purpose of that was for the access for spraying. So right now it's basically it's a two-man process. The buggy, stays on top of the levee and basically runs a hose down, and the person down below is, trudging through the 8-foot high hemlock trees and stuff trying to get to the blackberries. And one of my goals I want to try to get to this year is get those benches opened up, and so we can access them more laterally from the riverward side. And that's would be up and above on beyond that cost. And then of course what we have also been doing the last several years, is mowing access roads into pump stations, and as of recently, mowing access roads into the Santosh Canal, mainly around the Smith Ditch areas, the Honeyman areas, to access the canal in that area. And that would be above and beyond this. That's not included in this price. And so I'll go either way, whatever you guys want to do. I'm just trying to get people start conversation around some of these bigger ticket items.
And this is something we only do this once a year.
Correct.
One pass. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend?
I'm back and forth. I think the levee looks really nice when it's mowed. It looks kind of professional, it's from an outsider standpoint when they see the levee, but it's, $18,000. We can do a lot of other stuff too.
So Chase, the $18,500 that you've got on here, it sounds as though that doesn't really include the benches and mowing out to the pumps, et cetera. What do you think the all-in cost would be?
I wish I had an answer for you, Gary, but I don't. I wanted to look back and look through our rental. I didn't have a chance to get into QuickBooks this afternoon when I put this together. I got kind of tied up with the pump electrical analysis this morning, but I wanted to see exactly what part of the, because some of it was put into the equipment rental, was it the rental for the tractors and stuff we did last year, and so I wanted to kind of really be able to break it down. My guess is at the end of the day it's maybe a couple $1,000 one way or the other for last year. This next year mowing the benches probably add on to that.
Hey, I'll jump in with one comment. The reason per the core rules is their ideal is like 8-10 inches of grass and nothing else, so that the inspection of everything, that's why Chase mentioned needing to do it for an inspection, that's actually in the requirements to do that. But I just mentioned that because some people are new and might not know that regulation.
Thanks, Jen. I'm glad you brought that up.
To the extent possible that we needed to mow the riverward side also, is that not the case?
It is the case as well. But it's a lot of the times on the inspection, the vegetation isn't going to get you removed for the program, but a lot of times if it's really bad, like, the blackberries are 10 feet high or whatnot, they just say it's uninspectable and move on. So, but if it's grass, they're kind of, I don't want to quote them because you never know which way they're going to go, but.
Are you aware of any other, not to beat a dead horse, but to what Jeff Winker was saying, is there any specific statute that calls out for how tall it needs to be or what specifically needs to be done? Or is it just for inspection purposes, it's got to be able to be inspected, something more vague?
Well, the levee inspection manuals call for that, what Jeff said, at 8-10 inches. But the really bad part is when you end up with like blackberries and stuff, because below blackberries is basically bare soil. And so that's, kind of another step up from if the grass was 12 inches tall versus 8 inches tall. So it's kind of a rated system there.
In the past, the inspections that we did have, that would be an item and they'd call out various sections. But, Chase has got a good program going with the spraying and cutting of the blackberries and keeping up with that. In the past, we had like sections that were really bad and made the inspection as a defect.
Makes sense.
We used to get a lot of things on our inspection report or line items that they would put on there that would say vegetation prohibited, useful inspection, or something to that effect.
And we don't have any inspections anticipated for next year?
No, I'm expecting the next one probably two to three years out to be a follow-up what is now a formal inspection of the 2019 periodic.
Okay. Well, good discussion. Is there anybody else who'd like to comment? I know we've kind of covered a lot with regards to this, and I think we've got a little more research to do and a lot to think about on how we want that budget for this line item to look for next year. And I think everybody brought up some valid points. Is there any other comment on the mowing section of the budget? Anybody in the public have a comment? Okay. Anything else you want to ask, Chase, or anything else we want to cover before we move on?
I mean, from a board standpoint, I just kind of wanted to put the bug out there and just kind of get feedback, you know, just between myself and, you know, the inspection of the tie gates, you know, line item 38 here. Rob and I have talked about this quite a bit, and we've tried to come up with some ideas, if you will, how to accomplish this. This is a rated item, so this actually needs to be completed. And I don't even want to throw a budget number at it yet, but it could be quite involved. Like I said, I've done these before down at Deer Island, but ours are not as long and as deep. And so it's kind of a out of my wheelhouse, but it's definitely something that's going to be, you know, need to be completed this year. And I kind of put the rest of the stuff, I don't want to say behind it, because like the cherry orchard ditches, you know, we're trying to time that in with working with landowners. And so that could also be a what I would call a higher level item. And that's kind of the way I look at it, but that's just me personally. You know, I'm just trying to provide information to the board.
And this probably isn't a fair question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Do you think that it's reasonable that we could have a better understanding of the, you know, what direction we're going to take for the sub-levy culverts and tide gates inspections? Do you think we'll have a better idea for the costs associated with that before the budget meeting? I know it's right around the corner, but.
So the way my priorities are, and you know, if I'm going in the wrong directions, you know, pull me back on the rails here. But basically what I'm looking at is the perimeter sublevy culverts and the cherry orchard ditches. Cause that's the cherry orchard ditches can be pretty good size operation. And so those two are going to be some big ticket items. And then the others are, I mean, the mowing, we have a really good idea of, but the, those ones are going to be big ticket items. The other ones, I think we can kind of ballpark it just with general information available to the public, such as the roof repairs is what I'm talking about. Sure. And we don't have to do them all this year. This is kind of the ones that have raised to the top of my radar.
We do have to do the inspection this year though. Is that what you were saying? It's a rated item that has to be done.
Okay. It's a smaller item, but just a curiosity question to think about before we dive back into this, the next meeting, the shop roof replacement. $1,500 seems like it's really low. Could you help me out with that a little bit?
Where's that?
Or did I misread it?
Yeah, so that was actually that's what's in buildings, house, office, shop from the 2022-2023 budget. Yeah, I left it blank because I don't think that's going to cover a shop roof, as you probably
got it.
Thanks, Gary.
Well, great. This has been very helpful, Chase, at least for me. I won't speak for everybody, but it's been very helpful for me.
Is everybody ready to move on? Is there any public comment? I mean, from the public, but if you want to take public comment, Chair, that's up to you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, good question. Anybody from the comment have any question or comment about the, anybody from the public have any question or comment about the budget before we move on? I'm not hearing any, but there'll be, something does come up, you know, don't wait till the next meeting to speak up, send an email, shoot a text, get a hold of Chase, and we'll, that way we can have some conversations about making sure everybody's been heard before the next budget meeting. Okay. Let's see. All right, Big Phil, I'm going to put myself on mute. The floor is yours.
Okay, so just kind of working through the manager's report trying to make sure I stop when we get to the other key items. Kind of the big infrastructure things this week is the Honeyman pump. I'm not quite sure why, as I stated, is the float that used to be installed in this pump station was kind of next to the sump, and for whatever reason it became basically the signals were not matching each other and it was running kind of all over the board. So we basically, it wasn't a big project, but we did have to relocate it directly into the pump sump. As I mentioned earlier, I did have Energy Smart Industrial out this morning. They basically mapped or voltage and amp tested the new Evans number one pump against our, what we call our baseline, the other older pumps. And we completed the same process with the Evans number two. It looks like we have quite a bit of energy efficiency savings, but I said that last time and I wasn't 100% correct. So I'm going to kind of leave that open-ended at this point. This morning it did open up a whole nother can of worms, which I don't really want to get into at this, but it has to do with the siphon breaker valves on the Evans pump stations. They were, for whatever reason, malfunctioning at the time, but we did get it corrected for now. The rigid metal frame that we installed on the Johnson pump, when it was fabricated, we actually built it with an adjustment capability where it can actually be continually to put downward pressure on the intake. And it ran quite a bit last month with the heavy rains we had. And I'm not sure if it was from the pump vibrations or what have you, but we've actually been able to slowly push that down over time. I know several inches doesn't seem like much, but dealing with what we had, it's actually quite nice. The other day we lost power at the Honeyman pump. Yeah, it ended up being a Osprey's nest. I don't know why they would build in there, but what have you, the Smith pump, beaver dams, like I said, mentioned earlier, the trapping success has picked up. The pumps are basically all set to the same position they've been for the last several months. Kind of looking ahead, as we just covered, looking at budgeting, getting bids. We're going to start pump and levee access road mowing operations. The grass is going pretty good right now. I said I'd leave the toe drain expirations on there just to keep me on track there. And I'm going to stop here because the draft employee handbook is ready for approval after several months if there's no major problem.
So I'm going to go ahead, Chase, I'm going to go ahead and move to approve our draft employee handbook. And Mr. Condit, I'd like to ask if that's something we should do by resolution or just by regular motion.
I think I would recommend doing it by resolution just so it's easier to find in the record. But from a legal perspective, a simple motion to adopt it is fine as well.
So can you help me out with the verbiage for a resolution? We just say adopt by resolution. Is that what we say?
Yeah. The board moves to adopt resolution. Do you number your resolutions?
Yeah.
Do we have a number we can use, Chase?
I usually start the first resolution of the year as, 2023-1. But I legally, does it go fiscal year or 1-1 to 12-31? Our budget goes 7-1 to 6-30.
No, the way you mentioned it is a very common convention. So you start at January 1st, and then so it would depend on how many resolutions we've adopted since January 1st. I don't recall anything. Do you? Did we do a resolution?
Let's just call it 5 to be safe. Doesn't have to be numerical, does it?
Well, that's how you keep track of them. What I would do is move to adopt resolution 2023-blank, approving the draft employee handbook as the employing handbook for the Scappoose Drainage Improvement Company and directing the general manager to insert the correct number after the meeting.
So my question now is for Janelle. Did you catch all of that?
Almost. Just the last part that Mr. Condit said, approving the draft of the employee handbook.
Yep. Actually, instead of draft, approving the employee, approving the adoption of the employee handbook as presented.
Okay. Thank you.
Question for Jeff Condit. In the absence of keeping track of exactly what resolution we're at, is there any reason that you couldn't use a complete date, including the year, and that way would be sequential?
I'm not understanding what you're saying. We're starting with the 2023, and then we're asking Chase to find out what the correct number is for the resolution and insert it. So it will be adopted as part of the meeting minutes of this meeting. So I think we have what we need.
Sure. What I was asking was, is there a reason that I understand what you're saying and I'm okay with that, but is for simplicity, is there any reason we couldn't do 2023-5/11?
No.
Then they would be sequential. They wouldn't necessarily be, there'd be gaps, but at least that way you could reference it back and the higher numbers would be later.
The only reason I wouldn't go for that, Gary, is that I think none of our other resolutions are numbered that way.
I understand it would involve a change. I just thought it might simplify things a little bit going forward.
Yeah.
It also would tie to our meeting minutes as far as when it happened.
That's a good point.
Megan, any thought on that or Amanda?
I'm following. I don't have any input to that. I would just say remain consistent. So that would just be
ditto to what Megan said.
Okay, then
I'm sorry.
Megan, did you say something?
Yes. Did someone? No, I thought someone said my name, so I was just responding back.
Oh, Amanda said ditto to what you said.
Gotcha. Thank you.
With respect to Gary for his excellent idea, I'm going to go ahead and move whatever it was that Jeff Condit said. That's not very good Robert's rules on my part, but that was a little long for me to remember verbatim. So Janelle, would you like to read that back for everyone, please?
Yes, and please correct it if they've got it wrong. So board moves to adopt resolution number 2023-blank, approving the employee handbook as presented with Chase to insert the resolution number.
Sounds good to me. Anybody second that?
Second.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Amanda. Thanks, Karen. Let's move it to a vote. All in favor?
Well, first you have to ask if there's a discussion.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. That's all right.
No discussion. No discussion? Okay. Can we vote now?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it. Let's vote to adopt our new handbook. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Nice job, Chase. Check that box, buddy.
I gotta sign both. I gotta sign the resolution and the handbook.
Oh my goodness.
Store it. Well, that's awesome. That's
thank you for all your hard work on that, Chase. That was a lot of work. So okay. And a lot of putting up with my picky hall monitor questions too. So thanks for your patience on that.
Okay, that brings us to, I want to make sure I'm not missing anything on the agenda here. We got personnel 408. Okay. So May 3rd, Heidelberg Materials, which is the new name for Cadman, materials. They had a rebranding, I guess, January 1st. They had a restart of the kickoff meeting with USACE regarding the Ellis Farm Gravel Mine. It was basically a meet and greet. There's been new members that have come on board from not only the Heidelberg side, but also the Army Corps of Engineers side. I was intended to the meeting with our consultants. There wasn't a lot of substantive information shared back and forth. They just basically had indicated that they had taken the geological borings and gathered other information. I don't know what that information is. I know some of it's to deal with, sounded like interior drainage mapping and also seepage, but they were hoping that to have a 60% submission for the 408 in late July, 2023. And so I just think to kind of, as what we've kind of insinuated all along with this process is with our consultants involved and stuff is, you know, we don't want to be the holdup for this process moving forward. And so what I just want to make sure that in the past we've had a kind of a board member appointee that's attended the meetings with myself and our consultants just to make sure we're hopefully all hearing the same stuff. But I think we should appoint at least a board member to attend or a couple board members to help attend these meetings. As probably imaginable, I don't think Rob should be that board member. No offense, Rob, but that's just kind of what on the agenda is to kind of cover this with the board member point of contact for Heidelberg. Anybody have any comment? Anybody willing to step up?
Real quick, Chase, and Karen, maybe you can help me answer this. If we go to appoint a board member to this role, is that done by vote?
I think that's a better question for Mr. Condit.
Jeff, do you know the answer to that? Do we have to vote to appoint somebody to this role?
In the past, we've just had board members just step up and do it.
Okay.
They just kind of take it on as their area of responsibility, kind of like Karen does with the rental house.
Because I'll probably then just as a best practice recuse myself from the dialogue and obviously from any voting with regards to that position.
That's a good idea.
I think you've come to the right conclusion. You only need to have an official board appointee if that's the request.
But to make that appointee, it doesn't require a vote.
Well, if they were requesting an official board participant, then the board would need to vote to appoint.
Understood. Thank you.
It would be like the 50-year plan for the city of Scappoose where they actually were requesting a board appointee. And so in the past, it's just been somebody who's wanted to step up and be the, you know, the second set of ears on these issues, I guess. And it goes up and down the board. We've got personnel, operations, 408s. It's nothing out of the ordinary for what we've done in the past.
And if it's just participating as part of a group, then you're not participating in an official role, so a volunteer would be fine.
Correct. Does anybody want to throw their hand in the ring?
Chase, were you suggesting that maybe you wanted two board members to participate in that? And what are you thinking that the time requirement might be on it? Or tell me a little bit more about it.
I just basically want a second set of ears. We already have our consultants. So it's, you know, when it comes down to the nitty gritty of the, you know, as of last time, it was only, I understand it was only a single phase 408 for this project, but the consultants, you know, they made a recommendation for us for approval. But it's, you know, to basically be in the meetings and make sure that we're kind of all hearing the same information. When it actually comes down to the analysis of the information, that's what the consultants are there for. I just think, you know, because at the end of these processes, there's going to be a request for a letter of no objection. And you know, the consultant will make their recommendations, but it would help to have at least a board member on board. And right now it's monthly meetings. So it's a couple hours once a month. I think the last meeting was only an hour, but like I said, that was a kickoff meeting. And then there could be offshoot meetings. So a lot of the times, like the geological type of stuff, and the hydraulics and stuff, we would be involved in. There's multiple facets to this process. There's real estate and all that stuff, which doesn't really concern us. We don't really want to be involved with. But the meat of it, it would help to have a board member there as well, I feel, just to make sure I don't miss something.
Are those virtual meetings or the in-person meetings?
They're all virtual. Everyone's scattered from, I don't even think you can get a personal meeting if you wanted to. Everyone's pretty scattered. Yeah,
that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Well, in the absence of someone else, and if someone else wants to step up, I certainly will withdraw. But it seems as though, if possible, if we had two people, in case I had a scheduling conflict, I've got stuff coming up here, I would step up to it, but it'd be nice to have a backup just in case.
So would it be a dumb idea if I did it?
I could volunteer as the backup person.
That sounds good to me.
I suppose I should be running this discussion if Rob has recused himself from it, right? That just dawned on me. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Jeff Wanker, as much as I appreciate it, I think if Gary and Amanda have both volunteered to be the point person in the backup, I think we'll go ahead and go with that. And I still am not clear. Are we supposed to go ahead and do this as a motion or not, Jeff Condit?
No, you don't need to.
Okay, thank you. All righty then. I think that solves it. Is that correct?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Take it away, Rob.
Thanks, Karen. I felt like I was in timeout for a second. Might have been the longest I've gone without talking ever.
No comment.
All right, so... let me make sure I'm not missing something. Accreditation Lomar. Sorry if I'm switching back and forth. It's already interesting. So April 25th, Rob and I and Gary had a meeting with the City of Scappoose, Columbia County, Port of Columbia County, and the other stakeholders that were involved in the expanded interior drainage analysis done by West. It was actually a very productive meeting, very constructive dialogue between everybody involved. We kind of talked about our system and maybe some misconceptions and tried to clear those up. We also shared our concerns related to the timeline that this process has taken, specifically regarding kind of our drop dead date of December 24th with the SDIC levy certification from the Army Corps of Engineers. I had a very long conversation with the Army Corps of Engineers prior to this meeting to see if this was the case. It is. The Army Corps of Engineers only certifies levies for 5 years. The re-up, we're not sure what that looks like yet. And for some reason, FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers are kind of on different time schedules. They're a 10-year once the mapping's done. The Army Corps of Engineers is a 5-year, which also opened a lot of other questions that is going to probably need to be answered within the next year or two, is if we achieve levy certification, and do we have to continue to do the 5-year Army Corps certification as part of that? And that's something that I'm not really sure what that looks like at this time, but there's definitely information in there that we need to get straightened out over the next year. And currently, we, in case anybody wants to ask for the maps, we don't have them yet. So that kind of brings us to that. Rob, do you want to add any on that?
I think you covered it. I agree. It was constructive for sure. But you covered it. Great.
Best practices.
So, I'm sorry. Can I ask a question about that? I was muted.
Yeah, go for it.
Talking to myself. So, how do we get a version of the new maps?
That's a good question. I wish I had an answer. I believe at this point in time, the current contract with West is actually through the city of Scappoose. So we're hoping to get the city of Scappoose, which appears to be more comfortable with the maps, that we will then receive the maps kind of through West, city of Scappoose conglomerate. I mean, they've, you know, it's, the contract is different, but the process is all inclusive of everyone. And so we're hoping that's where it eventually will come from, because as you know, the expanded analysis is basically a lot of the information that they provided and that we didn't have in the city of Scappoose infrastructure.
So we just continue to be patient on that then?
At this point, that's kind of what it appears to be.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Chase, with our December 24 deadline on this, what do you see as the major obstacles? I think I probably know what it is, but I'd like to hear what you have to say to reaching that.
The major obstacles is, you know, for the people that have been through this process, is it's been a multi-decade process or decade plus process. And the first step in it was actually achieving levy certification, and then it moved on to FEMA. But I don't know what the time frame is. We kind of have Sauvies Island, Multnomah County, and Columbia County are kind of what I would say ahead of us in this process. I actually talked to Tim about this at Sauvies Island the other day. Is they've actually submitted their letter of map revision, their LOMAR, and that's going to be the interesting time frame. Is how long does that take? Because if that takes a substantial amount of time, and then this certification happens to expire in the middle of that, that could be a problem. But the other question that was brought up, and I talked to Shane at the Corps about this quite in length, is the every 5-year levy certification going to be a requirement of the 10-year FEMA certification? So if it's something we have to do every 5 years anyhow, we should probably plan for it. And one of the big things that I've looked at too is if this is something we have to do every 5 years, granted, this is going to be a re-up. This isn't going to be a, you know, invent the wheel as you're doing it type of a process. It shouldn't be as painstakingly expensive nor involved. And so that's kind of what we need to start kind of getting through and figuring out is what is, and getting answers from FEMA is kind of quite complicated, if you will, to see exactly what they require. And so that's, does that answer your question, Gary? I'm sorry.
Well, sort of. It seems as though it's been held up, you know, for the city. Obviously, the Scappoose Drainage Improvement Company had been working on this for years and years and years. Then there was, you know, one member that wanted some changes. You know, is that going to continue to hold us up, or is the city ready to move forward, I guess, is what my question is.
It sounds like the city and county are ready to move forward. We've kind of got two different trains of thought on this. Is FEMA is okay as long as we can keep progressing towards accreditation. what that looks like over the long term, I don't know. But the big question is if the 2024 levy certification expires and we have to recertify it anyhow, no matter what, whether we are in FEMA or we're out of FEMA or we're in provisional accreditation, I mean, that's a big question that I think we need answered. And if, as long as FEMA is okay with progressing forward at their pace, is one thing, but we need to figure out what the Army Corps, you know, what their protocol is.
There's probably no way to establish that prior to getting to that point. Is that what I'm hearing?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, like when I was talking to Shane, the provisional accreditation for these levies was only supposed to last 2 years. That was back in 2010. So it's...
That's kind of where it was coming from.
Yeah, it's... God knows.
At some point, it seems like they would just run out of patience for us.
Well, it's not just for us. I mean, there's... When I was talking to Shane, you know, there's hundreds of levy systems across the country that are in the same boat we are in. But, you know, you have the next big disaster, you get another Katrina, and they got to dole out another whatever $1 billion it was. You know, they, people start to get a little, I guess, impatient. And that's my concern. Hold on, I got to close my blinds since I got like four. Sorry about that. Okay. Any other questions on that? Best practices. So, as everyone knows, we did approve the April 13th board meeting, the list of priorities. We're kind of working towards this now. I've created a new website on our page. It's not 100% complete yet because it is, but it is basically us reaching out for feedback from the public again. I'm trying to point out kind of the main issues that are coming up the near term. And so I'm hoping that we can get feedback, solicit feedback from the public at this point in time.
Chase, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to ask a specific question about that, about right there, the feedback. I wonder if the board thinks we should have a deadline for feedback. I mean, a reasonable one. I don't mean it needs to be like, you know, the end of this week, which should be tomorrow, but, you know, a reasonable deadline so that we can move forward.
I believe it'd be a valuable component. But I think we need to, we probably need to get through part of the process first and then decide when we want to move on with what we have and then set a deadline. I hate to set a deadline and then we're still moving on with it, you know, well afterwards, if that makes sense.
I'm not sure it does. I'm just wondering if we should have a deadline for feedback. Did I not understand what you just said?
No, I believe we should as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should probably get more. So like right now, we're still working on the draft list for board and staff. I don't want to close public comment until we actually get that up.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of my idea there. And then the current O&M manual, I don't want to close public comment until it's actually available. There's, you know,
we're doing the dog.
Okay. That sounds good. So we can revisit that question when you feel like the items are here and the website for this is complete.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds good.
Anybody else have any comments?
Okay. Also under best practices, I just wanted to remind everyone that we did complete our board training. Rob already mentioned it. in his president's message, but we did complete our board training on how to be a good board member on May 4th, 23.
Perfect. All right, SCAPU Stormwater Master Plan. It's pretty much in the same position it was 3 months ago when they said it was done. Still haven't received a draft from the city yet. I haven't made it available. I'm not sure where that stands. I haven't heard any updates from the city council or staff. Let's see here. All right, rental home.
Okay.
Aaron, you're up.
Thank you. Let me get that page here, please. One moment. So I send the board an informational email. One moment. Trying to find my sent items. Why can't I find my sent items? There we go. Okay, I got him. All right. There we go. Okay, thank you for your patience. So our questions in front of us are whether or not to renew our tenant's lease and whether or not we want to increase the tenant's rent. And if we do want to, by how much? So, because she's getting ready to send out the renewal letter, if that's what we want her to do. And so it's the time of year where we need to make those decisions regarding our rental property. So I hope you all had a chance to look over the information I sent to you. I guess I would like to go ahead and make a motion that we, because we can obviously have discussion after the motion is seconded, if it is seconded. But I'd like to go ahead and move that we do renew our tenant's lease and that we do not increase our tenant's rent at this time.
Second.
Okay, so Rob, you can just go ahead
now. Just a little discussion on that beforehand. Mm-hmm. Have we incurred, or more just a question actually, maybe it'll lead to discussion. Have we incurred any more cost to operate the home in the last year? Have we incurred or cost to manage it from our rental company?
I haven't seen anything. No. Okay. And she will, the question about, there's always maintenance that we might need to do. But yeah, no, we haven't, she hasn't raised her rates on us.
If we don't anticipate any additional cost to maintain the home or to manage it through the property management company, then I would support not raising the rent also.
I don't know. I mean, we don't have a crystal ball on that, you know, but so far, it's been pretty minimal, our expenses there.
You know off the top of your head if the property managers raised their rates at all in the last couple of years that we've had the rental, or ever? Or has it been the same original contract price throughout?
Okay. We've had the same contract the whole time. Chase, can you verify that for me?
I can't verify, but I haven't seen anything that says they've raised their rates or their percentage cut or what have you.
Great.
I think it's pretty normal for them to remain relatively flat because over time rental rates go up. So I think that's kind of how they adjust. I don't think that they typically raise the percentages on a routine basis anyway.
Yeah, I think she gets paid by percentage if I remember correctly.
Okay.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah. Thank you both for clarifying that. As long as, you know, as long as there's no increase to our cost, and being as we're not a real estate investment company or anything like that, I don't see any reason that we would raise our rent unless we incur cost.
And the good news is that we have her on a month-to-month lease. So we would be if we pass this motion, we would be renewing her lease as a month-to-month lease. And so, you know, we can make changes as the months go by if needed.
Apparently in your email, I saw that there was a walkthrough that was going to happen. Is that walkthrough going to happen before we commit ourselves, or do we know that?
The walkthrough happened. That's a really good question. The walkthrough happens in June, and the renewal letter will go out July 31st. So,
what I'm suggesting is that maybe we want to see what the results of the walkthrough are before we commit ourselves to it. I'm in support of everything that's been said, but you know, the walkthrough might be important.
Let's see, how could we work that out, Gary? Okay, so she sends the renewal letter June 1st with the expectation that the renter would sign it by July 31st is how I understood it. Thing is, if we can't, that's why we wanted to decide this tonight, because if the letter goes out June 1st, we wouldn't have a meeting. We'd have our next meeting after that date. So let's see, how could we get that to work out? Could we just pass the motion with a caveat?
I would think so.
Do you want to attempt it?
Yeah, just, I don't want to barge in here, but.
Go ahead.
We have the ability to raise the rent with 90-day notice, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if there is something in the walkthrough that doesn't come back or check out, we can still raise the rent to make up for it, can we?
Depending on how the walkthrough goes, I mean, that may or may not be reasonable. I'm not trying to say worst case scenario. I just thought that, you know, if indeed the timing lined up, and I wasn't sure how the timing went, that if, you know, we could have the walkthrough prior to committing ourselves to going forward, that, you know, might be prudent. Sounds like maybe that isn't possible, but.
Well, it's just that I wouldn't know how to get. We'd have to have a special meeting, right, to get.
That's probably overly complicating it at this point.
Yeah. It's a really good question. I'll try to remember to ask her that, though, so we would know that for the future.
Well, it's a month to month, right? I mean, so.
Yeah, it is a month to month.
If we agree to approve the renewal tonight, and there's a bad walkthrough or unfavorable walkthrough in June, we would have the option to terminate the lease in July. Correct?
I would assume so.
If we won't renew, then lease, I guess, would be a better way to put it. We'd have some flexibility. I guess the only thing we're committing to.
I know it works that way from the tenant point of view. I'm not so sure from the landlord point of view that you can do that, but I'm not an expert on that at all. That would be a question for our agent.
Yeah.
This is Megan. I have a question. In the contract for, you know, where for 90 days notice we could increase the rent, is there a percentage listed as to how much we could increase the rent, or any kind of stipulation, or basically a ceiling as to how much we could or could not go over?
Harlow had said that we could increase the rent by up to 14.6% technically, but she does not recommend that. And I don't exactly know why she says that. Does anybody else?
There, it goes by an index, and then it's an index plus a certain percent. I don't recall exactly what the index is, but it's a widely known index, and then it's plus X percent. And that's how they come up with the 14.1 or whatever you said.
Mm-hmm.
So that varies year to year. The percentage does.
Does that answer your question, Megan?
It does. It does. Thank you. I was just wondering if for some reason, you know, just so we don't, like you were saying earlier, overcomplicate this right now, if it was a bad walkthrough, you know, and if you're wanting to recoup, you know, some damages or whatever, I was just wondering as to kind of what we had to play with.
Be almost $300 at the current rate per month.
So we have a motion on the table that's been seconded. Is there any other discussion, or is there any changes to the original motion that we want to go with, Karen, or what are you thinking?
I don't need to make any changes, but if Gary makes a good point, if he would like to, that's something we can talk about.
I think at this point, that's probably overly complicating it. I was just asking if it could easily fit together with what we had already set up.
But I will make a note, Gary, and talk to Harlow about that, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Excuse me, can you let me know who was the person who seconded it? I didn't recognize
Amanda.
Thank
Amanda.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, well, we have a motion. It's been seconded. We had a little discussion. Do you want to repeat the motion one more time, Karen, just so we're caught up?
I think I moved to renew our tenant's month-to-month lease and not increase her rent.
Okay, and Amanda seconded. So let's vote. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
There Great. She is. Perfect. Five ayes, motion carries. Thank you.
I don't have anything on legal. If Jeff Condit has something we don't know about, he'd like to let us know. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
No, we're good.
Mercury temperature. We basically, after the last meeting, I submitted our new updated edited plan and received confirmation that it was received. I also received confirmation, which I reported on this a while back, is the DEQ right now is so wrapped up in the temperature TMDL redos that they've already told us that the mercury TMDL approvals are probably going to be pushed out for quite some time just because of personnel and priority issues. And with that, I think we're wrapped up. Any questions on mercury temperature?
Well, thank you, Chase. Another solid monthly report as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me get caught up real quick. All right. So item number 9. Is everybody doing okay, or do we need to take a 5-minute break? I know this is a little longer than normal. Doing okay, board?
Yep, we're close to the end.
Okay.
We can do it.
Okay. So item number 9, upcoming meetings. George Dunkel in our last work session made a point or had a brief comment, and I won't try to repeat it because I'll probably mess it up, but he basically just referenced the opportunity to go back to in-person meetings and potentially even down the road, maybe even a requirement to go back to in-person meetings, which kind of got me thinking, you know, from all reasonable measures, the pandemic, which triggered us to no longer meet in person, has ended on many fronts. And so it might be a good opportunity for the board to consider whether or not we would like to get potentially even jump ahead and evolve or find a way to evolve back to in-person meetings while still offering a virtual avenue or way to connect. Or if we'd like to continue down the path that we've been going down, knowing that there could be a potential change down the road, which will force us to go to in-person. It's kind of just my brief intro. I'm just going to open that up for comments. So any comment on that or thoughts, concerns, questions?
If we did go back to in-person, would that be at the district office? And if so, do we have the equipment to do so?
That would be the audio equipment and the strong enough internet, correct, Gary?
I think possibly video as well, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Chase?
I would say the new T-Mobile internet is definitely strong enough. I don't know about this time of the evening. This is kind of the peak hour, if you will. And during the daytime, it's more than adequate. But yes, there would have to be some sort of an upgrade. I mean, I just, right now, all I have is just a little webcam that goes on the camera like I have right here. I know the city of Scappoose has microphones. They have a video that projects the meeting. I just can't imagine that being that big of a financial cost. It's a small room. It's not like the city council chambers. It's, quite large and can fit a lot of people. My only concern is I know when we do our meetings in the city council, we got to talk right into the mic. And then if we're not doing that, the individuals who are participating virtually have commented that it's difficult for them to hear. And I'm not sure if that's a component of the system of the city, if there's something better out there, but it would definitely have to be something we have to be cognizant of. And, I would like to, and I talked to Rob about this briefly, is maybe set it up so we could have one of the board members or maybe hire Todd for one meeting to host a meeting, and I'll try to host it from the office. And if it crashes, at least the meeting's not derailed. And so that would be kind of a test and see if we could pull it off.
I think those are good points. And the other thing that I just kind of add to it is that, do you know off the top of your head, or maybe Jeff Condit, do you know off the top of your head, is virtual attendance the requirement by the state, and if so, does virtual attendance mean, can we get away with just opening up a conference line, or do we have to have video and audio available for everybody to attend?
You have to provide electronic access to the meeting. So I think you could possibly do that by phone. They have to have the ability to electronically listen to the meeting in real time and the opportunity to electronically participate in the meeting in real time.
Okay. Because one of the things I was thinking, Chase, too, is that if we had issues with video but the audio sounded good, we could record the audio portion on Zoom and we could set up a conference line or some type of voice over IP phone with an open line that people could mute their Zoom and call into the conference number so that if they wanted to comment, they could get through, but we could still have the ability to record our meetings to an extent.
And that was part of my concern too, is like we've moved to, our minutes are written, capturing the high points, but our backup is at this point, it's a Zoom recording. I mean, that could change. It doesn't have to be Zoom, but I would just be cautious is if the Zoom recording cuts in and out, like some people have said during the city council meetings, I don't know if we could really say that any longer. Does that kind of make sense? If we have questions, we try to go back to listen to it, maybe miss something to clarify, which we've done, as of late, but it's broken, sure. Broken audio, that could make it difficult.
Any other comment from anybody on the board? Or
might be a good time to ask how many people would be, actually willing or desire to participate in person as opposed to maybe on a virtual platform if we're not required to do it in person.
Yeah, it's a good call. You read my mind. I was if the board didn't have any comment, I was going to ask the public that exact question. Does anybody from the public have a comment in regards to this topic?
I find the Zoom meetings are pretty convenient for my schedule, but you know, in the wintertime when I'm not as busy, I would certainly show up in person, but summertime and you know, now when I've got the kids running around and stuff, it's way easier for me at home, to be honest.
Makes sense.
I would say I would meet anywhere we needed to meet. But I would definitely prefer to continue meeting by Zoom. It's a lot more convenient.
I clearly prefer Zoom, and you know, especially in the spring and summer months.
Okay. Megan?
Yes, thank you. Just going to pop in. I'm indifferent to it. I will say that I second with Amanda. It will be tough for me to close up the business, you know, during harvest time and during the summer when we're open to the public to get to a meeting in time. So I would need the flexibility, or I would appreciate the flexibility, but I guess I'm just right down the middle. So whatever's the most convenient for the majority of the board, I support.
Great. Well, I appreciate the board's feedback. Anybody from the public have any comment? Susie, I see you're unmuted. You got something that you want to say?
I do. Hi, this is Susie Dahl with Columbia County. We have been required to go back to hybrid with public hearings for our planning commission. By state statute. So, and I know the commissioners' meetings are both hybrid and in public at the same time. So I think if you offered that, you might get more people coming into your meeting.
I appreciate that. Are the commissioners allowed to attend virtually if they can't attend in public?
I believe so.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe this would be a better question for Jeff. It sounds like there's been some laws changed in the last several months. Susie just mentioned having to have in-person participation. Could you see that foreseeable for us? And if so, I think we should probably plan for it.
Well, let me go back and take a look. I think that that statute that was mentioned applies only to planning commission land use hearings. But let me go back and check to see if there's been any other changes. We're right in the middle, of course, of a legislative session that could result in other changes. So let me go back and check, and I'll send a note out to the board.
When's the legislative session over?
Well, good question. Probably
under normal circumstances.
No, normally it's end of June, first part of July.
That's what I thought. Okay. So end of June, first part of July, if there is a change, we'll know it at that point.
Yes.
Okay.
Would anybody be opposed to maybe engaging somebody like Todd or somebody else that's more IT savvy than maybe Chase or I? And Chase is pretty savvy, but that could maybe give us a quote for some equipment or give us an idea of what type of things we might need to be able to run a meeting, a hybrid style meeting from the district office. Anybody for or against that? Just pursuing that, getting some more information, and then coming back to the board next month.
Knowledge is power.
Okay. Okay. Great. I have an IT person that I work pretty closely with that's pretty sharp, so I'll pick his brain and get some contacts that we can follow up with Chase and pass them on to you. Tell him what we're trying to accomplish and see if he's got any ideas.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the discussion. Any further comment, question, concern about in-person/hybrid meetings before we move on? Okay. Okay, item number 10, review of action items and the master calendar. Go ahead,
Chase. I actually like to go to 9B, Rob.
I'm sorry. Yep.
That's okay. I just need to report to the board that I will likely be absent. I'm going to try to be there. I'm going to be on the East Coast visiting my daughter who lives in New York. And I'm going to try to get the meeting, but I can't guarantee it. So apologies. That was a plan that I made before I accepted a nomination to run for another term.
Starts at 9 o'clock, Karen.
Gotcha.
Good, we can appoint her to more stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing.
You guys are kind of bugging me a little. You're kind of bugging me a little.
I can't wait to see that agenda.
This is Megan. Karen, I'm sorry, my phone cut out. Did you say for the June 8th meeting? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town with my apologies, but.
No, I completely understand. I actually, if it's possible, I need to piggyback on that. I will also unexpectedly be on the East Coast during that time as well, kind of a last minute family thing that I have to attend. I don't know if I will have access as well. So well, I don't know what that does.
If we're down two members, that's kind of risky. It's our budget meeting, and that's kind of risky too, because if somebody else can't come, then we don't have a quorum. So that gets to be a mess. Right. So maybe we should consider, I know we don't like to do this unless we have to, but maybe we should consider moving the meeting.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very important meeting, and I think we need to find a date where we can all attend.
I'm in full support of that. I would do my best to try to, you know, be on at that time, but I cannot promise. And I think it is too important for us to be close to not making quorum.
Yeah, no problem.
Can we consider the 15th then, which would just be the following Thursday? Chase, do you see any problem with that?
The only thing that does is it pushes the financial approvals up against getting the power bill paid.
What about Monday the 12th?
The state pool transfer getting completed.
Monday the 12th, I come in, I will still be gone. I'll be kind of in transit. I apologize. It was not a pre-planned. It's something that I unfortunately have to do. So,
out of curiosity, Chase, if that's something that's going to affect the power bill, I mean, is that something we could give you approval now to pay the power bill and approve whatever transfer we need from the state pool to at least take care of that one? And then we can review the amounts at the meeting itself.
Yeah, so what I think we can do that because I have approval to pay utilities, and that obviously is a utility. I think we've done it one time in the past, and it was when Jeff was on the board, and the transfer was for the exact same amount as the power bill, and so it was tied directly to a utility, so it was authorized under our financial. Financial approval, if you will. Sorry, I'm missing the word right now. But the power bill would be the only thing I would be concerned about. And as long as we knew about it ahead of time, I think you and I, and maybe if we had a board member also involved too, just to make sure that it's, you know, out in the open. I think we've done it in the past, but I try not to do it for obvious reasons.
No, I would be fine with that. I don't know. I assume we need a motion to approve that, but.
Well, we don't. It's the paying utilities is I have authority to pay utilities under our financial resolution.
Okay.
I just try to do it, you know, in the transaction list so everybody can see it.
That makes sense.
Is the board's comfortable with that, right? We've gone through this before. Okay, thanks. I don't want to put words in your mouth. So
it's fine with me.
So with that ironed out, are we looking at the 15th? Is that still, or let me pull my calendar back up. I just lost it. Is it Thursday the 15th? Does that work for everybody?
Works for me. I would appreciate it.
Okay. How about you, Megan? Is the 15th same time, normal time work for you?
Give me one sec. I'm just looking at my, double checking my calendar, and I am clear that night. So that works for me as well.
How about you, Gary?
That works.
And Amanda?
Yeah, that works for me.
Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it.
Chase, I should ask you first. Are you good for the 15th, or did you already say you were?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So, Chase, apologies, but I guess there are some things you have to do when we change our meeting day, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be the notice. I don't know. This might be a question for Jeff Kahn. Is this going to be a special meeting? I mean, it's our normal monthly meeting. It's just not on a normal Thursday.
Yeah, you know what I would do? It is your normal monthly meeting and is normally required on the Thursday. So I would move our regular monthly meeting for June from June, whatever it's on now, to June 15th.
Okay, I move to move our regularly scheduled monthly meeting from June 8th to June 15th.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? I think we've already talked about it plenty, but all right, let's go ahead and vote. All in favor for moving our monthly board meeting for June from the 8th to the 15th, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.
Real quick, is that you, Amanda, Karen? That seconded that?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. I think now we can go to number 10. Thanks for catching that, Karen. That would have been really bad if we didn't talk about it.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that, everyone. Much better.
Okay, review of action items and master calendar. I can't see. Oh, there you got your screen up, Chase. Nice. So let's go over action items first. Let's see. It looks like you're pretty quick, Amanda. I see the state pool transfer has already gone through.
Yes, it did.
Nice. Very efficient. Okay, and then I have on my list that to follow up with IT on some potential items and things that we might consider to purchase for a hybrid style meeting. Karen, you have, you're going to talk to Harlow.
I just sent her a message and that's in the works already.
Okay.
We need to, all of us need to review Chase's initial budget, come up with our questions.
Yep, budget review. Okay. Is there anything else?
I need to get the correct resolution number adopting the employee handbook.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I need to sign the handbook and have JR sign the handbook.
Mm-hmm. Good catch.
And need to schedule. I need to notice the different meeting.
Yep.
Oh, check signing. There's two checks at the office.
When are those due to be signed?
I think it's your convenience. Usually if you guys give me a couple days, I can get the minutes printed out as well. Then Amanda can sign those while she's there.
Are you talking like by Monday, or because we got the weekend coming up here?
Monday. Monday's fine.
Okay. Anything else on action items? All right. You want to talk about master calendar, Chase, or is that, let's see.
Well, basically, so the master calendar, this is what I put together. I sent this out to the board so everybody can kind of see it. Didn't receive a whole lot of feedback, but kind of the concept behind it is we can kind of track stuff as we're moving forward. Definitely next month is budget review, approval, and resolution. The resolution needs to be signed. That's a county requirement, so that'll definitely be coming up. Review of the rental home, I guess that needs to be moved back a month, sorry. June 30th is budget year end. And then also what I will send off is our assessment to GSI. They will begin the analysis for the computation of the assessment per tax lot. And that's something we do every year. That's not really out of the ordinary. So.
And so we plan to start doing this going forward, right? At the end of every meeting, we'll go through and we'll pull up Chase's master calendar, which is, I think is great. I love it. And we can kind of look forward a month, 2 months ahead and see kind of what's on the radar, just so everybody on the board and everybody in the public's got an idea of what's coming up around the corner. I think looking ahead keeps these meetings sharp and efficient and not super long. So thanks for putting this together. Chase is great.
Yeah. And it's a fluid document. We can, you know, add things or move them around as we need to.
Yeah, this is just something that I'm just tracking as we go, just to help everybody. And if you want, if there's board members that want something put in here, shoot me an email, whatever. Just say, hey, I want to make sure we track this, and I'll get it in there.
Thank you, Chase. It's awesome.
This is going to be updated too, is probably the public's aware, as part of our SWOT analysis. There's a lot of stuff as we work through that is going to have a repeated placeholder in this calendar. Just because you don't see it in there now, it doesn't mean it's not going to be there. This is, like Karen said, a living document. So it's work in progress.
Great. Well, I appreciate everybody hanging out and sticking around. This meeting was a lot longer than some of our normal meetings, but I know that we covered a whole bunch, and congratulations on getting our new employee handbook adopted. That's awesome. Made a lot of progress tonight. So thank you all for attending. At this point, unless there's any further comment, I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 7:44.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.